KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, 33 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be cloudy to partly cloudy today, the high around 42. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your trained home comfort specialist dealer. In local news, the City of Atlantic's Parks and Recreation Board Monday evening received a check from local developer Don Sontag.
I've got a check here for $2,500 to the Park and Rec Committee. When we started East Ridge Park, I pledged that I would put in $2,500 a year for 10 years. Certainly been a worthwhile project. Looks nice, looks better every year. Give you a lot of compliment for keeping it mowed up, you know.
Sontag said in the future he'd like to see a source of water for the park for the planting and annual maintenance of flowers.
And this might be some water that we could maybe have some annual flowers or something. I've had several ladies up in that neighborhood say, hey, I'd adopt a spot if we could have some flowers. But it would make maybe one of the parks a little different than some of the others. I know it's something we have to do every year. But if we get some folks or maybe some clubs to adopt some areas, it's just a thought.
And in other business, Parks and Recreation Director Roger Herring provided the board with an update on the development of the Shelburg Recreation Area Campground.
And I want to make sure that we recognize the street department for the time and expertise that they've contributed out there. And those are called in-kind services. And without them, the Parks Department would have a difficult time functioning, getting some major things done. They've been out there for almost all of last week and one or two days the previous week, grading and getting that area prepped for the gravel roadway and also the camping pads. And so they've done a great job with that, moving dirt, hauling gravel, and also using their transom to make sure things are on grade. And
he said the crews have done as much as they can do for now, with 4 inches of gravel laid down for the roadway and 12 out of 18 camping pads. Work will resume on that activity in the spring. Herring says also talks have been underway with Atlantic Municipal Utilities to have water and electric installed for the camping pads sometime next spring, and a local manufacturer has expressed interest in that part of the project.
Owner Revolution and Plastic Professionals have shown an interest in also working with us in putting the camp pad pods, and what they are is a roto-molded plastic structure that would actually house water and electricity for each of the camping pads. They are the manufacturer. One of the representatives is going to put together a plan for us to do it as cost-effective as possible.
He says also the plans for a dog park at the Shelburg Recreation Area are continuing. The board have approved a request from Herring to ask the Atlantic City Council on Wednesday night for permission to release a section of city-owned land near the park.
Technically, across Buck Creek Road from Shelburg Recreation Area, that's city property that's not identified as a park. We obviously believe that we would need to go before the city council to ask them, first of all, would you release that ground to be a dog park? It doesn't necessarily have to be identified as a dog park or a recreational area.
The board approved the dog park committee's request to begin a fundraising program that would help pay for development of the park, primarily for fencing, which is expected to run about $10,500, but also for benches and other amenities at the dog park, such as equipment for the dogs to play on.
We've had a lot of discussion about dog parks, both one in town at Sunnyside and then one out at Shelburg. And so right now our focus would be on the one out at Shelburg. That doesn't exclude the possibility of having one in town. But right now the focus, I think, needs to be out at Shelburg. We've got a lot of people walking dogs and running dogs out at the Shelburg Recreation Area.
I'll have more news in just a moment. News time is 8:04.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. where it's hard to stop a train.
Authorities in Cass County said yesterday that two people were arrested recently on separate charges. According to the Sheriff's Department, 22-year-old Michael J. Sherman of Atlantic was arrested last Friday on a district court warrant for a probation violation. Sherman was taken to the Cass County Jail, where he was being held on a $5,000 bond. And 1 week ago today, deputies in Cass County arrested 42-year-old Michael Maurice Cron of Atlantic on a charge of public intoxication. Cron was taken to the Cass County Jail, pled guilty to the charge, and was released the following day. Sheriff's officials in Audubon County said yesterday that they arrested an Atlantic man Sunday morning. 58-year-old Bernard Dean Beach was taken into custody around 1 a.m. Sunday on a charge of OWI first offense. The charge was the result of a traffic stop in Kimbleton. Beach was brought to the Audubon County Jail and later released after appearing before the magistrate. A preliminary hearing on the charge was set for January 3rd. The Atlantic Police Department said four people had been arrested over the weekend. Last Friday, 25-year-old Jeffrey Knight of Atlantic was arrested for carrying a weapon. He was booked into the Cass County Jail. On Saturday, 18-year-old Jesse Nyman of Elkhorn was arrested by Atlantic Police on four counts of unlawful possession of a prescription drug, possession of a controlled substance, possession with the intent to deliver, and prohibited acts. Nyman was booked into the Cass County Jail. And on Sunday, 24-year-old Joseph Fredrickson of Atlantic was arrested by the APD on a disorderly conduct charge along with public intoxication and interference with official acts. That same day, 53-year-old Diane Wilson of Atlantic was arrested on a charge of domestic abuse assault. Both were booked into the Cass County Jail. The Adams County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that a Corning man had been arrested Sunday afternoon on drug charges. 63-year-old Gary Seaman was allegedly found to be in possession of a controlled substance and drug paraphernalia when authorities searched an apartment in Corning at around 3:30 p.m. Sunday. Seaman was charged with possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. Authorities say he was cited for those offenses and then released. And the Fremont County Sheriff's Office on Monday released a cumulative report on the arrests and incidents which had occurred over the past few weeks. The most recent arrests included 45-year-old Donald Lynn Welch of Hamburg for criminal mischief in the second degree, along with simple domestic assault and disorderly conduct. 26-year-old Matthew David Yost of Hamburg was arrested for simple domestic assault, and 54-year-old John Wesley Kalkus of Shenandoah was arrested for driving under suspension. In all, some 11 people were arrested on various charges in Fremont County between December 1st and December the 15th. Also in area news, for many years, the bronze sculpture of the Little Mermaid sitting in a fountain on Main Street has been the pride and joy of Kimbleton residents. The statue depicts the well-known fairy tale of Denmark's famous storyteller, Hans Christian Andersen. Jill Madsen, office manager at Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company, says an Iowa Great Places grant has allowed Kimbleton to consider adding more sculptures as part of their park improvement project.
One of the projects for the Little Mermaid Trail is to redo the Kimbleton City Park, which will be the trailhead.
Madsen says there are three projects underway in the city park.
One being the sculpture garden for the Hans Christian Andersen Sculpture Garden, and also new restrooms and new playground facility for the park itself.
Jill says that Troy Muller, an art director of New Genesis Art Studio in Kimbleton, is prepared to work with the town to provide 6 out of 10 smaller bronze sculptures depicting other Andersen fairy tales for the park. The 3D sculptures will be patterned after sketches Muller has drawn up and are expected to be in place by the spring and summer of 2013. She said the Little Mermaid Trail Committee is providing an opportunity for donors to dedicate individual sculptures for their loved ones.
We are collecting a $1,000 donation for anyone that would like to do so.
She says they prefer to have one family name per sculpture. A bronze plaque will recognize a specific donor. Current sketches that will be turned into sculptures include Thumbelina, the Ugly Duckling, the Emperor's New Clothes, Little Match Girl, Steadfast Tin Soldier, and Princess and the Pea. The sketches are available for you to view at the New Century Art Guild Annex, which is formerly Mama Bear's, on Kimbleton's Main Street.
There will be a pathway or walkway between the sculptures, so you can go and actually listen to each story being told regarding the sculpture.
And that's regarding each sculpture being about 18 inches tall and sitting on a concrete pedestal with a speaker, which again will allow you to hear the story of that particular piece of art. For more information, you can contact Pat Crosley at tcrosley@metc.net or Jill Madsen at jill@metc.net. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the outlines of a national debate on gun control are taking shape in the aftermath of the Connecticut school shooting. Some senators who've been supporters of gun rights say it's time to look at changes in gun laws. In Texas, Governor Rick Perry has indicated that he supports letting teachers and school administrators carry concealed handguns. He says it's a policy that should be decided by local school districts. Stock futures are higher on emerging signs that the White House and Congress are moving closer to a budget deal. A new proposal from President Barack Obama drops his insistence that taxes rise on individuals earning more than $200,000 and families making more than $250,000. He's now offering a new threshold of $400,000 and is lowering his 10-year tax revenue goals he had argued for a few weeks ago. Also, a spokesman for Iraq's president says he's hospitalized in Baghdad in a stable condition after suffering from a stroke. The development adds new uncertainty for Iraq's political future, a year after the U.S. military left. Jalal Talabani has only limited powers as president, but he is respected by many Iraqis as a unifying figure who can rise above the ethnic and sectarian divides. News time is 8:11.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. For major repairs, including new house construction to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Mary Anderson, age 70, of Exira, died Friday at her home. Funeral services for Mary Anderson will be this morning at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Lillian Granny Mae Mart, age 89, of Guthrie Center, died Friday at Mercy Hospital Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Lillian Mart will be today at 2 o'clock at the Kotroba Smith Funeral Home in Gregory, South Dakota. Dorothy Evans, age 93, of Casey, died Saturday at New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Dorothy Evans will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart is in charge of the arrangements. Lyle Short, age 72, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Lyle Short will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Ramona Mona Merrick, age 79, of Glidden and formerly of Carroll, died Saturday at St. Anthony Regional Hospital in Carroll. A massive Christian burial service for Mona Merrick will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Holy Spirit Catholic Church in Carroll, with the Don and Woodhouse Funeral Home of Carroll in charge of arrangements. Kermit James Creswell, age 75, of Earlham, died Sunday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Funeral services for Kermit Creswell will be held Friday at 10:30 at the Earlham United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham is in charge of arrangements. Naomi Keppel, age 87, of Bayard, died Friday at St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. A private family graveside funeral service for Naomi Keppel will be held at a later date in the Highland Township Cemetery south of Bayard. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has arrangements. Billy Taggart, age 89, of Manning, died Sunday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Services for Billy Taggart are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. And Rosemary Fike, age 57, formerly of the Orient area, died Wednesday at the Kaiser Permanente Medical Center in Los Angeles, California. Funeral services for Rosemary Fike are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.